He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But yeah, I what do you think though about like the notion of moving forward and the notion of you know the Lakers without LeBron? I mean, you've even while you were covering the Clippers, it's impossible to separate yourself from, you know, like LA basketball even while you're covering a different team. And then now as a columnist, sure, you've paid more attention to it now as in your time as a columnist. Based on what you've seen recently, spending a little bit more time watching the Lakers, like, how do you think this is going to go post LeBron?
It could be
deep, long silence.
I think it could go to, well, look, I don't buy that superstars are going to avoid the Lakers. I don't think they will. I think the Lakers brand is so, and to maybe the detriment of like, building the organization out correctly or as fully as they could. The Lakers brand is so strong and the Clippers brand is not. And like these guys are businesses, right? And it means more to their business to play for the Lakers than the Clippers. I mean, just like in LA, like if you go anywhere as a Clipper versus you go somewhere as a Laker, the public reaction is different. Paul George didn't like that either, I'm sure. But I think just like a more broadly, like, yeah, you joke about like, if you have a son that wants to play in the NBA, the Lakers will take care of him. I think the Lakers take care of their superstars. And I think maybe they don't, you can quibble for sure with like the team and the infrastructure, you know, what the, you know, the roster moves and the wasting some of LeBron's years here in the most unfortunate manner. But I don't think that that precludes future stars from joining the Lakers. And as long as they're in that star business, I don't think they're dead in the water by any means.
The other thing that needs to be factored into this with the Lakers aspect of this conversation is that Guggenheim is sitting right there. And we've seen what Guggenheim has done with the Dodgers. And I don't think the Buss family will ever sell completely out of owning the Lakers. I think they'll always be a part of the equation there. But I could, and I've said this on the show a few times in the past, but I could see them, you know, let's just say for the simplicity of math's sake, that the Lakers or the Buss family owns, I think it's like 35 or 40% of the Lakers. And then the rest of the ownership is broken into these small minority groups. If the Lakers, if the Buss family sells enough to just move down the totem pole and let Guggenheim take over and handle operations and all of that stuff, now all of a sudden you have the Lakers brand and Guggenheim resources, which, again, we've seen what that's done for the Dodgers, where they're arguably the best run organization in sports. Like, not baseball. Sports. And I think if we're talking about like the possibilities and the potential here for both of these organizations moving forward, that would be pretty terrifying for the rest of the NBA if Guggenheim were to take over. How much do you think I've been trying to get a feel for this? And you know, you've been paying attention to Los Angeles sports for, you know, in a professional and personal capacity, right, for your whole life, right? You grew up in Southern California too. Do you think it, like, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I know this wasn't on the docket, so apologies for putting you on the spot, but do you think it matters to LA sports fans that it's the Buss family in particular that runs stuff with the Lakers? Because I'm starting to feel a little slippage in that regard.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting question. Depends which Laker fan you talk to. I think a lot of people have frustrations and their frustrations kind of ferment into a anti best family, right? Like people yeah. subscribers to your podcast probably aren't like the hugest fans of the Buss family, but there is, they are still icons in their way in LA, right? Like the, yeah. that name, that family has done so much for LA, you know, and like the kids have obviously not had the success that their father had. But still, like the Lakers remain incredibly relevant. It's not like they've completely, you know, like we, you know, a championship and a Western Conference Finals appearance is dissatisfactory to a fan base that expects a lot all the time. Yeah. But if the, you gave that to a Clippers fan, I mean, they're still celebrating. They celebrate. The people that were happy to see Paul George was like, he gave us something that we never had before, which was Western Conference Finals appearance. And like, that was a big mm-hmm. deal, but there's just these levels of expectations. But I think, you know, it's not been all bad. You guys have LeBron, you have AD, you have a pretty fun team that,
yeah.
you know, that you,
it could definitely not, be it's a not, lot worse.
It could be worse. So yeah, I think it would have to go really sour for longer for people to really sour on the family, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the next few years go, because like Rob Pelinka's contract is up at the end of next season. And seeing as he went through two transaction windows without doing anything to the roster, I think Lakers fans are pretty much out there. And if he gets an extension, I don't think Lakers fans will handle that particularly well. But I also don't think, though, that, like, I don't think Jeannie wants to fire Rob. And I don't think if Rob departs, she wants it to be on his terms. And mm-hmm. and I think, you know, if you're looking at the possibilities here or the paths out of the LeBron era, one of them is we fire Rob. No guarantee that the issues get fixed, because the issue still, like, Lakers fans don't really want to consider this, but LeBron is 40, and it's great that he's playing the way that he is at 40, but I don't know that that's necessarily night in, night out a $50 million player. It's an incredible story that he's playing the way that he still is, but it's kind of tough just in a raw basketball sense to continue to make the argument that just because he's 40, it allows him to get away with not playing up to that expectation year or night in, night out. And then with Anthony Davis, like, you just never quite know. Yes, he was really healthy last year, but so far this season, he has plantar fasciitis and one workable eye so far. So, like, whether they fire Rob or not, the two cornerstones of this franchise, like, they aren't on the uptick anymore. So even if you fire Rob, I'm talking about this from Jeannie's perspective, somebody who doesn't want to fire Rob. If I fire one of my best friends here or let his contract run out, and there's no guarantee that it's going to necessarily get better, then am I just better off saying, you know what, that is going to do it here for the Buss tenure. Let's hand this over to Guggenheim there, and I can continue to be a part of the Lakers equation. And at that point, too, like, if she's a minority owner, or if the Buss family is the Buss Trust is a minority owner of the Lakers, they're still there, and I think they would still be celebrated if, you know, maybe they don't get to hold up the trophy on championship nights. And I do think they would be part of the parade, because they would still be a part of the organization, but it wouldn't be quite the same thing. I'm just looking at it, like, from what I think Jeannie would prefer to do, if it was the choice between selling just enough of this thing to A, get a huge payday, and B, step into the background a little bit, or B, not do that, continue to get, like, I don't think they really show her on the Jumbotron anymore, because they're concerned how that's going to go over. Continue to watch, like, you know, Linda Rambis is her closest friend. Linda's always a polarizing figure. Kurt is always a polarizing figure. Rob isn't even polarizing, because I think most people are just kind of out on him. Would you rather see, like, continue down that path, or just rip off the Band-Aid? I don't know. I do kind of think eventually she's going to rip off that Band-Aid. It's just, and from what I've heard too, like, she hates the way that people talk about the Lakers. She can't stand it. So, and I don't know who would, like, you'd have to be like Sterling to be like, okay, well, you guys don't get it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really kind of curious.
So this is you sort of trying to sell, to make the pitch to Jeannie Buss that, like, you don't need these headaches. What do you want these headaches for? It'd be a ceremonial. You'll enjoy the ceremonial position much better.
That assumes she's listening, which I highly, highly doubt that she is.
I'm sure she's an avid listener.
She might have made it through the intro because of Avery's voice, and then that's it.
Which is the best intro of all the podcasts I listen to, by the way.
I appreciate that. But yeah, I think the show should just end at the intro because the outro features her too. So it would be it. See, nepotism works. But yeah, I think it's a fascinating discussion there. And I think the other thing too that needs to be pointed out with Ballmer and what the Clippers are trying to do, they've started, you know, yes, they had the ill-fated, slogans on the billboards. Like, that didn't age very well. But I think what they've done, what the Clippers organization has done that is really, really smart is start with the kids. And I do think we'll eventually arrive at a place where, like, the parents and the older generations will root for the Lakers because that's how they grew up. And I think the kids who don't think their parents are cool, and want to push back against their parents and played on courts that had Clippers branding on it and played in parks that had, you know, signage and stuff like that of the Clippers. And then you also go to the Intuit Dome, which is a significantly nicer looking building than Staples Center is now, or I guess Money Laundering Arena is now. And like, I find myself wondering if, you know, years down the road, if that, like, when those grassroots elements will pay off. Do you think they will?
So when Kawhi and PG came and you kind of really saw that, like, you know, we're going to go for the kids, because it was right then was when all the courts were getting the now old Clipper logo on them.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess, I don't know how much has moved the needle with kids, though. Like, the Clippers haven't been good enough. Like,
yeah, you have to win.
Yeah, you have to win. Like, all those other, I mean, there's been junior Clippers. Like, there are hardcore Clipper fans who became Clipper fans because there was, like, even under Sterling, a junior Clipper organization in LA that created youth basketball opportunities. So I see this attempt, and I, like, appreciate it, and it's smart. But, like, at the end of the day, what's cool is what wins. What's not cool is teams that are, like, meh or
yeah, teams kind of stale now. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, my kid is 11, and I remember when Kawhi and PG came. Like, my daughter, who is now 17, I remember bringing her to junior high school and seeing two little seventh grade guys walking around with Clipper shirts, and I was like, oh my god. Wow, yeah. It's working. I don't see that anymore. Like, now kids are back. Well, now they're wearing Dodgers stuff. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, but that's what's
but
cool.
But to your
like,
point, exactly.
You see, LA is covered. It's so cool. Like, the LA is covered with Dodger stuff. Like, it's really, like, you're like, hey, it feels like a community. So, for all their efforts, at the end of the day, you got to win. And you have to win a lot to move the dial in LA, where the Clippers are the Clippers and the Lakers are Lakers. So it's a tough road to, like, uphill slog, but, you know, I think Ballmer wants to do it. So.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this thing up here with this. What have you thought of JJ Redick as a coach so far? Like, how have you been? He has the viral clip of him fighting a chair in Memphis. Part of JJ, chair.
Yeah,
take that, chair. He did make the big swing recently, moving D'Angelo Russell to the bench. I think that was, as somebody who kind of knew it was coming, still thought I was shocked at how early it happened. But what have you thought about how JJ has handled himself, and do you think he has a future in this?
Yes, he has a future in this. He's a very competitive dude, and I think great coaches are very competitive. I was kind of doubtful coming in, because he's a little bit smug, you know?
Yes. He's a Duke guy. He's like the Duke guy. Yeah. When he was at Duke, he was the guy everybody hated.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm like, and obviously he's played on NBA teams, been in NBA locker rooms, and he knows way better than I do about, like, you know, how to talk to NBA players. But like, at some point, when that guy is it's one thing when that guy is your teammate, and it's another thing when that guy is your boss. And, you know, yeah. I'm like if you're D'Lo's got to be feeling some kind of way at the moment, I'm sure. It's like JJ, like Ty Lue, who I respect a lot as a coach, he does this 10 game at a time sample size, right? Like everything, all his decisions are like 10 games, 10 games, 10 games. And it felt like that was some sort of what JJ was doing with this, right? Like, let's look at this lineup with this, we'll give it this much space, and then we'll tinker and we'll think, you know, but I remember in his introductory press conference, and he was like, I don't give a F about blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, doth protest too much. Like, it feels like you really do give it, yeah. You know what I mean? Right. So I was a little like, is he going to be like super sensitive and like,
yeah, I want to make sure the newspapers print, I am not mad, you know?
Exactly. But I think he's so smart. And I think these guys really appreciate, like, and he's doing it in a way where these guys they're feeling it, they're following it. Like, when you run, I know from Ty Lue, when you run sets that work, guys are like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think he's doing well, and I think he's just starting. So, like, he's gonna be really good.
Yeah, I think the theme of this pod is just win, baby, right? Like the whole, like, you know, run sets that work. Turns out guys like coaches who run sets that work. When you make, I said this on the show yesterday, but I really think that, you know, because he technically made that move 8 games in, but I think he looked at the schedule. He was like, well, Philly's broken and Toronto is trying to lose this year. I'm going to move this up a little bit.
Right.
And I'm going to win when I make this move.
Right.
That we get confidence. That buy-in.
Yep. Within the team and outside the team too. So he's very clever and very competitive. It's a good combination.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, when the Lakers went into, after they fired Darvin Ham, the hope among, you know, the hope of hopes was that maybe, just maybe, the Clippers would fire Ty Lue. And that, and I think the Clippers knew that, and as such, were never going to fire Ty Lue. They also weren't going to get somebody on this market who was better than Ty Lue. So I think that was the biggest factor. So then when it didn't look that way, I know that the Lakers checked in on Bud, and he would have been an interesting hire, but I think he's just like a variant of Frank Vogel. You know, he's just the inverse of him. I think they've been there, done that. And we know how the Lakers really care about a story, and they want to be able to, you know, it's not
JJ's
enough.
A star.
Yeah.
JJ's a star as a coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, this good looking guy. I think I've tweeted about it a couple of times. He's the first ever coach with the sleeve tat, you know, where he rolls his sleeve up and you can see the tattoos coming out of the other end there. I think the Lakers really like that about him. And then it just so happens that he really cares about basketball. He really cares that he succeeds here. And I think that's a good starting place, but I still think, man, the next 5 to 10 years of NBA basketball in LA is going to be absolutely fascinating, because the 2-1-3 era is already already half over, but
it's over.
Kawhi is gone, that's it. You know,
I think we're thinking, yeah, like, even if Kawhi comes back to this team, I don't think he's ever going to be at his strongest superpowers, and that's not enough to get the Clippers over the hunt. Like, they're thinking ahead.
And then you know, the LeBron AD era is eventually going to end. You know, I think LeBron, he joked the other day that, you know, oh, maybe I'll play just long enough to see Bryce here too. So I think that he probably is looking at 3 years, I think, left of his NBA career, this year, next year, the one after that. Mm-hmm. And after that like 7 year stretch of basketball, because I think by that time Kawhi will have probably hung him up too. That's going to be so fascinating, you know, because like you've said, and like we've said all show, whoever wins in that 7 to 10 year stretch after these next few years, that's really, I think, going to, I think the Lakers are still going to own LA. That's never going to change. But I think that's the most viable opportunity that the Clippers will have at really, you know, grabbing a hold of a part of the city in ways that I don't think they ever did, even during the 2-1-3 era. You know,
I think Lob City was more successful in creating new friends than 2-1-3.
They won more, you know,
and they were fun. They were fun, yeah. And they won. Yeah.
And Blake Griffin was like a charismatic superstar. And and I think Doc has his shortcomings as a coach, but I think he was probably more popular as a person than Lou has been in the city too. So yeah, it's fascinating. I could talk about this stuff all day. I just looked up and we've been talking for 42 minutes. So
you poor listeners.
This has been an absolute blast. Anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
I'll be writing Clippers Lakers all season. So, find me on Twitter and, for now, Twitter, I guess everyone's moving different places, but Twitter is where it's at for now. otherwise I'll be listening to Anthony and reading everybody else's stuff too. So
you and Jeannie both, apparently.
For sure.
I went to, I signed up for Blue Sky when it looked like, you know, like Elon had taken over and people were saying that Twitter was going to die and stuff. And so I created an account back then. The problem that with Blue Sky, they haven't figured out their notifications. So you can't quite limit it to the people who follow you yet. That ability isn't quite there yet too. And every single time somebody follows you, you get a notification, which I always appreciate the support. But over the last couple of days, I've gotten 2,000 notifications, and that is way too many notifications from Blue Sky. Wow. That is just So I think if Blue Sky is going to be viable, they need to figure out their notifications, because that's why people do social media, is for the dopamine hit when you get the notification, and you don't want the dopamine to be annoying. So hopefully they'll figure that out. But I don't think
notifications.
Yeah, yeah. I did, you know. So if you're hitting me up on Blue Sky, I'm not getting it. So all right, that is going to do it though for this episode. We will be back after the game tomorrow night, after the Lakers play the Memphis Grizzlies. Miriam, this is always an absolute blast. I look forward to hopefully talking to you again sometime soon. And I'm sorry that every time I bring you on here, the conversation wanders so much. I put you on the spot, and I apologize.
No, it's not. Hopefully, I don't say anything too stupid. But if I did, I'm sorry.
You didn't do anything worse than that. All right, everybody. All right, man, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. Tell your friends that you love the show. Tell your enemies that you hate it. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.